Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai, good to vach. Yisrael has been through a tough couple of days. It's hard to sit down and try to talk about anything without relating to that. I woke up Friday morning and heard about it as I left for shul. And as I came into shul, someone came over to me and said, "So what's the perspective? What do you say about this?" 1 minute. You know, this is the level of Vayidoim Aaron. First it has to hit you. That's a process. To really let it hit home and to let it hurt. To feel a part of it. One of the worst routes to go. And I'm talking still within the realm of parav. Once you hit people starting with the blame games, just like completely steer clear of that. Completely steer clear of that. But even when it starts turning into things like, so the way it would have to be set up next year is, or things like, what was it exactly in the planning that, and how could it have been avoided? That is pulling it down to a material level, which this is clearly not, and is missing the point in a terrible way. So there's the, we'll call it the natural spiritual response, meaning without getting into too many particulars, there are the things that are a given that we need to be sensing here. And number one is to be a part of the pain. That's number one. This is true with any tzara. And certainly with a tzara like this, where Hashem hit, it's uncanny, but uncanny really is another way of saying this is Hashem at work, where Hashem hit mamish a representation of, like in one place, of all of us. Chutz nikim, nechutz laaretz, neretz Yisrael, yeshivish, dati leumi, chasidish, sfardish, all the different neighborhoods, right, are all the different areas are busy contending with the way it hit them. And it extends to Chutz La'aretz too. So it definitely, each of us is meant to feel like this hit me. This is about me and this hurt me. And to hurt. I'll just... my own personal angle on this is that I was maybe I'm being a little uncomfortably exposing here, but I was looking forward to trimming my beard. I felt like it's flying out of control and that my mustache is starting to really serve as an effective soup strainer. But I just couldn't bring myself to do it on Friday. I just couldn't bring myself to do it on Friday. Now, I want to stress that I'm not saying that that's the response. The message is not that, okay, we should be doing something along those lines. This is more just like a natural feeling, but the response really has to be at the next level. And to understand that, again, the standard Yiddisha response here is that this is a Kol Min HaShemayim. Now, we've been saying that so much over the last year and a half. And it's not time to move on to a different message. It's not time to say, okay, you know, we've exhausted that topic, because that's exactly the point. Hashem is apparently really intensely focused on this topic. And we just don't have the luxury of saying, okay, we want it. We're ready for a new theme. We're ready for a new theme. We're all sensing that we've been moving away from a reality of Olam Kiminhagei Nohig, of the world following a natural route. This is what we've been being taught over this last year and a half. And again, to get into whys, we're not going to do that. What we're focused on is Lemaisa, how are we supposed to respond? How are we supposed to respond? And yeah, there's no question. This is Halacha and Rambam. We stated this Rambam many times over the last year and a half, that a tzara on the tzibur is always meant to be related to as a call for tshuva. It's true that we don't always know what the cheshbon shamayim are. We don't know why it played out in this particular way. But there's just been this ongoing message of the world is not just not going to be the same predictable natural place that you thought it was going to be. And we saw it take one form over the last year and a half. And then we saw Hashem treating Klal Yisrael kind of like on its own individual plane. When in the last little while, Eretz Yisrael is the one country on the globe that's mamish moving out of it, while the rest of the world is still mamish in the throes of the whole business. So that's a big test, to be able to sense that, to sense the chesed Hashem, and not just to say, okay, back to life as usual as it was before that, but to be living with a heightened awareness of Hashem is reclaiming the world. And if he's showing it through chesed, he showed it through din. And if he's showing it through chesed, this is something that we cannot allow to go over our heads. We can't allow us, ourselves, to settle into a good old familiar sense of, okay, now our feet are back on the ground. And this is a point that the Gedolim made in the last 2 weeks, to really, really sense this and to realize that we have to respond with a hisayrus, with an arousal, with an intensity in the same way as we did to the tzara. And here's another reminder that the world is not in a place of the good old comfortable world. So the chayra, the call is now, yes, first of all, that heightened awareness, but to lock it in with something practical, to lock it in with something practical. It's very, very difficult to hold on to inspiration, although that very much seems to be the call of what's going on now. Not to let go of this awareness, but to actually lock it into practical things. What exactly should it be? So to throw out suggestions would kind of be a contradiction to the essence of what's going on. You know what? Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about our goals as Ovdei Hashem, the purposes that Hashem put into this world, in terms of connecting to Hashem in mind, in terms of character improvement. These are broad areas where each of us can just find something solid that we can take on in a practical way, but something solid, not something far removed. Something in these areas of heightened awareness of Hashem, be it in the form of tefillah, be it in the form of bein adam lachaveiro, character improvement, some area in halacha that needs improvement, but something solid, something defined, something that can be quantified, and something small. Something small, but reflective of the fact that it's very relevant to me, and that's why it's subjective. That's why I don't want to throw out general ideas. Something that's very relevant to me in my life. You might choose a person in your life. You might choose a person in your life that you can improve the way you relate to them and decide on something specific. It should be something small so that it's sustainable. But and will also serve as a stepping board to go further. And then halavai, we should be zoiche to see all of this come together into Hashem really bringing the world back to Him with the full Gilui Kvod Shamayim and Yoimar L'Tzoraseinu Dai. But more than that, we should see it culminate in Hashem really revealing Himself in this world with the ultimate Geula Bezos Hashem. Okay. Now let's return to our subject. We're in Chovis HaLevavos. Shaar Avodas HaElokim. Perek Tes. And we'll briefly recap where we've been holding now. It goes without saying, I should just add that the tragedy is what it is, but there are many still people in our neighborhood and community who are hurt and are still fighting for their lives. So a big part of being part of the Tsar is just to be a little bit aware of who are some of the people and what their names are, and to actually be davening for them. Okay. We're in Shaar Avodas HaElokim, Perek Tes, in the middle of the paragraph, Omar HaSeichel, Avol Soy Devarich, page 330, the English edition. Thank you. The bottom paragraph. Yashar Koyach. Let's recap what we've been seeing. We've been spending a lot of time on this little fundamental piece in the Chovis HaLevavos, where he's basically defining for us the essence of our existence here, and defining for us the goals of our lives, meaning this full program of Torah and Mitzvahs, where it comes together, what it's all leading toward, how we can encapsulate it into very defined goals. So we mentioned perfection of mind. Again, we're not going to spend much time on this now. We elaborated over the last few weeks. We boiled it down to three goals. Three goals. I'm saying things that isn't really appropriate to say to people older than me in what we've been discussing till now. And it's certainly not appropriate to say in the presence of my mother. But people older than me came here to hear it, and my mother gets nachas. So I'm allowing myself the inappropriateness. Please indulge me. Perfection of mind, we've discussed, heightening our awareness of Hashem in our lives with all of its various dynamics. Making Hashem into a sensory part of our lives. Everything that entails. And then we have perfection of character, which we've discussed last week at more length, last 2 weeks at more length. Perfection of character is what we call Avodas HaMidos, bringing our character traits, our instincts into the place that they should be. And then we went into the third goal. And I'll just also, again, just briefly state that we also discussed how perfection of character actually includes the whole broad concept of dikduk ba'alacha, exactitude in halacha, which is often, its significance is not appreciated enough. As we discussed last week, the exactitude in halacha as a broad concept, without getting into the particulars of each din and each mitzvah, is the understanding that the goal of it is to create the disciplined soldier of Hashem. Just as with our midas, all of our different character traits, we want to have them in sync with Ratzon Hashem in order to be that disciplined soldier who responds how Hashem wants to any given situation. This is the idea with halacha also. Whatever the situation is, mamish like a soldier operating in a battlefield when there's just chaos all around him, but he is supposed to respond if he wants to be successful, not only in saving his own life, but in furthering his country's goals and bringing out his country's glory and honor. He wants to be responding very precisely to all the challenges hitting him from all angles in the professional way that he was trained. And that's basically what the concept of dikduk in halacha is. And then we move on to the third goal. And the third goal kind of brings it all together. And it was something which, again, just taken as is, sounds simplistic. To choose Hashem's avodah, to choose Hashem's service rather than not to choose his service. Now that sounds like what, where exactly is the specific directive there? So here is where we began elaborating last week to understand that the Chavis HaLovitz is actually introducing us here to a mindset, to a constant mentality of Bechira. So now let's elaborate a little bit more on this last goal. It's about developing a mindset. It's about developing a way of thinking as you move through, as you relate to your general circumstances in life, and as you relate to mamish each moment of the day. We think of Bechira as you're tempted to do something wrong. And now it's a question of Bechira. Am I going to choose the right thing or am I going to choose the wrong thing? But actually, Bechira is one of the most defining characteristics of man, as of man as a Tzelem Elokim, and it's something that's meant to be exercised all the time. In other words, what am I meant to be making out of this situation? What am I meant to be making out of my life circumstances? What am I meant to be making out of every moment? It's the understanding that actually, we should divide this into three parts. Every circumstance in life is an open check. Every circumstance in life, I mean, your broader life circumstances, whether you are better off financially or whether you're worse off financially, which is more conducive to Avodas Hashem, which is more conducive to growth, having plenty of money or not having enough money. And the answer is that once you develop the Bechira mentality, the way you think of it is, where are the opportunities for growth in each situation? And each one has its own opportunities for growth. Bechira mentality is exactly that. It's learning to identify the opportunities for growth in everything all around you all the time. So if I'm wealthy, what are the opportunities for growth there? I'm poor, what are the opportunities for growth there? What if Nebuchadnezzar? What are the opportunities for growth there? You're healthy? What are the opportunities for growth? Chas v'shalom, the opposite? Same question. Who are the people in your life? Who are the people in your life? And what opportunities for growth do they provide? That's as far as broader life circumstances. And it's again, yes, relating to each of these questions is an open check. Let's take wealth, let's take poverty. Each of these can either be reason for you to deteriorate, for your level to drop, or they can both be reason for you to attain greatness. You can become great through either one. If you identify the growth opportunities in that situation, you have a person who will go to a shir and will hear how a life of deprivation is so conducive for growth in Torah. And he'll really come to appreciate it. He goes out of there devastated because the poor guy has money, right? So what do you do now? So it's really about understanding that, yes, every circumstance of life, it's a whole way of thinking to learn to see what are the opportunities that it offers me, and every circumstance of life has that. Every situation in life, meaning up to now we're talking about broader life circumstances, from my financial state, my health state, the people in my life, where I live, etc. And then there's every situation in life, the things, we'll talk about the daily circumstances, the situations that you come across every day. I'll just give one example. There's a very, very inspiring piece in the Chazon Ish, in Emunah B'Tochen, where he talks about, well, basically what he calls, I'm translating it in a general way, a refined person. He talks about a refined person. A very, very beautiful piece, which is actually Kedai one time to go through inside. But he says, among the other things, he says, he pugsha in re'ehu hu lo lechet vaslev. When this refined person meets another person, he's very excited. And then the Chazon Ish goes on to describe that he makes the effort in his encounter with this person, how to hit this person exactly in the way that he'll come away from the meeting with me with a great feeling. What can I say to this person to give him a good feeling? In other words, what's the Chazon Ish say? Chazon Ish was not a social butterfly. Now, when he talks about being excited about meeting people, he's not talking about the type of person who was running around getting together with people. He stayed in his house. Everybody came to him, and he stayed in his house. But what he's saying is as follows. He's saying, you met a person? You met a person. Anything from interaction with a relative at home to the cashier at the makolet to a business associate, whatever it is, realize that right now, like we said, you have an open check. You have an open check. A little bit of thought into thinking, how can I utilize this meeting? That this person should come away from this meeting with a good, as good a feeling as he can. What can I say to this person? Sometimes, again, you know, if you're standing in line at the makolet and you're meeting the cashier, that's not the time to engage in what they call DMC, right? A deep, meaningful conversation. You know, until you have six people behind you in line and you tell the cashier, you can really open up to me. I'm here for you, right? That's not what we're talking about. But that's part of the avodah here, to figure out what do these circumstances enable me. You just give a beautiful good morning. I can go a far way. And if you actually know the person's first name, you should realize that by saying the person's first name, you're adding a lot of value to that good morning. People like hearing their name. When I was in the Mir Yeshiva, I davened like a couple of benches back from where Avnosen Zvi Finkel sat. And when I would walk into Shachris every day, I would pass by his seat. I would pass by where he was as I turned into the bench where I sat. And I'll just say that it was an important part of the beginning of my day. I would walk in and get his smile as I passed by. Didn't even nod his head, didn't say anything in the middle of davening. But it was that smile. It was just like, ah, you're here. It was kind of like a smile that expressed, ah, you're here. Right? Nachas, you're here. Big mir b'smedrash, right? But that was what his smile expressed. And, you know, that was an important part of the fuel of my day. I looked forward to it. And I came into the b'smedrash. So that's an instance of identifying opportunities for growth in the different situations that come our way. Very often, those opportunities come in the form of holding back from different things. Somebody said something, I don't respond, etc. So it's all about opportunity. And now we'll take it to another level and actually say as follows. We talked before about the opportunities for growth in, let's say we're going to draw on the examples of poverty versus wealth, right? And yeah, again, we're leaving the poor middle-class guy to figure himself out. But poverty versus wealth. We talked about the opportunities for growth. Now, you should come and say, 1 minute, aren't there a lot of challenges in both situations? There are significant challenges to Yeruchnius in both situations. But you know what? We have to realize that the two words really are synonymous. You want to know where the opportunity for growth lies in any situation? Find the challenge. The challenge really is the opportunity for growth. The challenge in any particular circumstance is really what gives it its meaning. If being wealthy provides the challenge of forgetting about our dependence on Hashem, moving into a situation where I feel like my life is in my own hands, I'm under control, if I need Hashem, I'll let him know. That's a challenge. That's a challenge, but you know what? That is exactly the opportunity. It's the great avoid of keeping myself reminded of Hashem when I don't naturally feel like I need it. To be able to tell myself that I need Him, even when it wouldn't naturally hit me. I don't feel like I need anybody right now. That's the challenge, and that is exactly the opportunity for growth. We said the people around you. Person is challenging, the challenges in the people around you, that's exactly where the opportunities for growth lie. And the same goes for poverty, etc. It's all about, on the contrary, trying to figure out what are the challenges here to my Ruchnius? That's where the profit lies. That's where the big money is. So like we said, it's life circumstances. It's the different situations that you encounter throughout the day. And it's also every moment of life. Mishael Sisharon says, Kol inyane ha'olam nisyonos hein la'adam. Everything in the world are nisyonos. And there he goes on and says, like we've been discussing, wealth on the one hand, poverty on the other hand. Having a turbulent life on the one hand, having a serene life on the other hand. Everything on his yoinus. So Rav Avigdor Miller noted, there's a famous statement of the Gro where he said that the Gro said that in the first 11 chapters of Mesilas Yesharim, there isn't an extra word. Mesilas Yesharim was probably Ramchal's simplest sefer, where he's talking straight to you. It's like a very warm, flowing, straightforward sefer. And unlike his other sfarim, different levels among his farm, but there are some that are mamish up in the world of Kabbalah. So therefore, it might seem like a simpler sefer where he's not so much weighing every word, but no. We have this tradition from the Gra that there are two ways of learning it. Learn it just in the natural way. Let him talk to you. Let him talk to you. Get the impact of the Ramchal talking to you straight. But then there's also the level of really learning it, analyzing it, like a sugi of Gemara, like a lamdan. So Rabbi Miller stressed, he said, if we appreciate that nothing there is superfluous and that his words there are very, very precise, when he says, every circumstance in life, everything going on in life is anisayan, he means it literally. He means it literally. Even though he gave very broad examples of wealth, poverty, turbulence, serenity, but really he means it literally, everything in life. And here, Rabbi Avigdor Miller already moving into his theme. You walk outside and the sun is shining, that's a nisayan. What's a nisayan? A nisayan is to feel it and appreciate it. And let's appreciate, once again, the term nisayan is often perceived as a certain, I don't use the word negative, but like b'dieved, right? Life is supposed to be, and I have my normal life, and nisayan comes your way. It's like a hump in the road that you have to overcome. It's a test, a challenge. But once again, we have to learn to replace the word challenge to make it, I don't know if to replace, or to make it interchangeable, synonymous with opportunity. Opportunity. Nisayan means opportunity. And that's what Rabbi Miller would say, Nisayan. What is the root of the word Nisayan? The root of the word Nisayan is Nes. What's Nes besides miracle? What does the word Nes mean? A banner, a flag that you hold aloft. What's a flag? What's the concept of a flag? A flag is a symbol of what you belong to, a symbol of your identity. You hold up a flag. If you're on the level that your pride is in the fact that you identify with a certain ball team, so you'll have a flag with their emblem hanging outside your window. But the flag is a symbol of your nation, right? But in the terms of Nisayan, the flag is the banner, your own personal banner that you're going to carry aloft as your claim to fame. This challenge that I turned into an opportunity, right? And this is going to end up being the banner that I'm going to hold high. This is my identity. I'm the one who identified this challenge, embraced it, and now I'm carrying that flag. The great us, La'asid Lavoi, is going to be comprised of those challenges that we took and turned into our greatness. Each of us, our very personal circumstances. Well, we take this to the next level. We talked about life circumstances. We talked about particular situations that come your way. Well, we take it to the next level in realizing that it's mamish every moment of life. Every moment of life, as in realizing that every moment of life is an opportunity. Every moment of life is a blank check. We're just talking a very, very basic level, right? Chafetz Chaim teaches us this, anybody here who's had a kid become bar mitzvah in the last 10, 15 years probably knows that Rabbi Milinowitz was very into the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidius, right? The Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidius, the six constant mitzvahs. Chafetz Chaim says, these are opportunities that you have at your disposal all the time. Walking through the street, you're walking through the street, focus on the fact that right now I'm in Hashem's company. Right now I'm in Hashem's company, and like we said before, the sun is shining, feel Hashem shining his warmth and his goodness down on you. Light, the sun is a, now, put on your cream, that yes, but the sun is a source of life, it's a source of light, it's a very, very great representation of Hashem's all-encompassing presence in this world. You feel the breeze against your face. You're feeling what Hashem is busy with right now. And if the sun is not out, and instead it's raining, so you want to keep your walk as short as possible, but at the same time, you think to yourself, think of it in a couple of different terms. This is next year's supper. Or you can even think of it further. These are the Talmidei Chachamim of the next generation coming down now. This is Hashem once again keeping his world going. But even setting that aside, just to focus inward and say, right now I'm in Hashem's presence, I'm in his company, let me just focus on that and appreciate that, even interact with him on my mind, simply to kind of think in your mind, Hashem, I know that you're focused on me right now, and I'm going to focus on you also. I'm going to try to sense that focus right now. This is that emuna that the Chafetz Chaim is telling us is one of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidius, one of the constant mitzvahs. And this is the opportunity that just the blank moment of life provides you with. So this is the Bechira mentality. This is the Bechira mentality. It's about turning on your consciousness of identifying what are the opportunities in each situation? What are the challenges of each situation? How can I use them as sources of profit to grow, to get closer to Hashem? And here we understand that the other two categories that we were talking about, perfection of mind and perfection of character, they come together because the Bechira mentality, let's say perfection of mind. You map yourself out a program for working on tefillah, okay? Because you want to grow in your awareness of Hashem. Tefillah is one of the means of doing that. You map yourself out a program, right? Or avodas hamidos, you decide I'm making a project out of this child, this neighbor, my spouse, and I'm making myself a project of growing in my character. But the Bechira mentality is taking it a step further and saying, I'm also letting Hashem lay out a program for me. Because I'm going to identify, besides the program that I map out for myself in terms of what steps I plan to take, I'm also going to learn to take note of the things that Hashem sends my way. He has his own program for me. So many of the things that hit us throughout the day are opportunities for perfection of mind, perfection of character, the awareness that this is Hashem doing this right now. And what is he asking me to do now? I heard such a beautiful thing from Rabbi Tauber. If I've said it already before, bear with me. But he said that when we go to sleep at night, Kriyat Shema Lamita starts with the famous paragraph where you say, "Hareini moichel lekol mi sheichitz v'iknitos." You write, "I'm moichel anybody who hurt me in any way throughout the day," and you go on to specify in detail this way, that way. So Rabbi Tauber said like this. He said, throughout the day, there are aggravations. People aggravate us. And sometimes it's hard to maintain the focus throughout the day that, you know what, this is not that person. As far as I'm concerned, this is Hashem challenging me, throwing me a curveball, seeing how am I going to respond. When we say Shema Yisrael in the morning, declaring Hashem's oneness, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to set our sights throughout the whole day. Whatever's going to be happening and coming up throughout the day, Hashem, it's you. It's you. If someone gets on my nerves, Hashem, that's you saying, I'd like to see how you're going to respond. if all these forms of temptation or provocation come my way, or like we've been saying, all these other opportunities and challenges, I'm going to see it in one thing. Hashem sending me messages. Hashem giving me calls. But sometimes you lose that focus throughout the day. When you get into bed and you're letting things die down and you're about to say Shema again, now you bring it back together. And at least retroactively, I'm saying, you know what? That person upset me. That person did this. That person did that. I'm reminding myself that was all you. And therefore, I'm ready to be moichel now, now that I've put it all back into that focus. This is the Bechira, again, we're coming back to the Bechira mentality. The Bechira mentality. Okay. We'll end here for this week. I'm going to stop the recording now. I'm going to spend a few more minutes now to address a question that I got the other week.